right. Well, we'll be sending out, I think all of our breakfast team should send out our 2009-2019 comparisons, beginning of the, 2010 and 2019, from the beginning of the decade to the end of the decade. I posted mine on Instagram, but I'll tweet it out with the team. And I insist that Stefan shows us the then and now. Janice will show us the picture of herself inside her mum's tummy 10 years ago. And then also today, and of course Mario as well. I insist on you too. Neil in Grayton says, Google morning, Rifilwe. That's cute. I haven't aged a bit, but what's going on with all my friends? They've all got so old. Blessings. Ouch, Neil. I don't know. Well, obviously you have a great skincare regime. We're curious. Please tag us at Cape Talk if you are going to be sharing your beginning of a decade and end of the decade. All right. You can't take a good picture without light. Eskom says it was forced to implement stage 2 load shedding yesterday to prevent a total collapse of the electricity system. The utility recently said no load shedding was planned until March. And of course, we just found out that we're going to have stage 2 load shedding kicking off again from 9 a.m. this morning. Chris Yelland is an independent energy analyst who always has the latest and the most insightful on electricity and Eskom. And he joins me on the line at the moment. Welcome to Breakfast with Rifilwe, Chris.
Good morning to you and to Cape Talk listeners.
Indeed. What are we to make of the sudden announcement just about an hour before load shedding began yesterday from Eskom?
Well, I've been in touch with Eskom, and it's really a case of the same old stuff. The level of unplanned breakdowns is exceptionally high, way above what is considered normal by any standards. To the extent where we've been pushed over the edge into load shedding. So I asked the question, you know, to be, please be more specific, because the communications that we get from Eskom, you know, are just the same with very little detail, just saying high levels of unplanned breakdowns, low diesel, low water, and these need to be replenished, requiring load shedding to give enough space in order to pump the water up the dams, to the top dams of the pump storage scheme. And of course, it takes time to replenish diesel stocks. When you run your diesel open cycle gas turbines flat out for extended periods of time, they simply run out of diesel because they were never planned, and the storage tanks were never planned for this extended use. They were planned for maybe half an hour a day during peak periods. So when you run them for extended use, they use massive amounts of diesel. They run out of diesel, and they've got to transport more diesel to the storage facilities.
Then you have 21 billion rand losses.
Indeed. I have also established from Eskom, and they were forthcoming on this information, that there are no generators operating at Kusile Power Station. Now, this power station started construction 11 years ago, and it should have had all six generators, 4,800 megawatts in total, on the grid by the end of 2014. Well, it's now 2019, and not a single one was operating last night. For one reason or another, the units that were supposed to be in service are down. And at Medupi Power Station, one of the units that is supposed to be in commercial service was down. The other units are operational. So that means a lot of capacity that should have been on the grid yesterday is not on the grid.
So from what you've seen and from what you've heard from Eskom, I mean, how close are we to the full collapse? If this is what was being staved off for March, and now we've got a new load shedding round this morning.
Yeah, I think one has to look at it, I suppose, on the positive side. No matter how negative load shedding is, it is a an effort to avoid a further blackouts on the system. In other words, if you simply carry on operating the power system in a state where demand exceeds supply, eventually things start tripping out, and it will ultimately result in a full blackout of the country. This is very rare and unlikely because of the very fact that manual rotating load shedding is performed. So this is an intervention to prevent a national blackout. So I think we should be grateful that Eskom has got a lot of expertise by now in instituting rotational load shedding, and this saves us from a worse situation.
Grateful is a strong word, Chris. But okay, I'll take it. Gratitude keeps us zen. All right, but just going forward, I mean, what can Eskom, or what should Eskom do to prevent load shedding in the future?
Well, look, in the short term, it simply has to do something about improving the performance of Medupi and Kusile and finishing these projects. That will bring new generation capacity onto the grid. The other thing, of course, is to improve the performance of the old fleet of coal-fired power station, which is performing very badly with lots of breakdowns.
Yeah.
That means more maintenance. The trouble is they don't have the space to do the necessary maintenance.
Yes.
And so you're in this catch-22 situation where you want to switch off generators in order to do maintenance. And this is deep-level maintenance that may require a generator off the grid for several months. And they just don't have the space to do that because demand is already, as we can see, exceeding supply. So if they were to switch off more generators to do maintenance, they would just have less supply and more load shedding. And that's the difficulty. If you neglect maintenance, you get into this catch-22 situation that we're in at the moment. Problem is the old plant is old and is performing poorly and is not likely to improve dramatically. And the new plant that is coming on stream as old plant is decommissioned is not performing as new plant should.
Yeah.
And so instead of pulling up the average availability of generation plant, it's actually dragging the availability down. And so we're in a situation where old plant is performing as old plant usually does, not very well, and new plant is not performing as new plant should, and that means we're into this situation.
So I understand that the capacity issues are valid, they're real, they're legitimate. However, indeed, you know, over the last couple of months and the past year, maybe 2 years, there has been a lot of talk in some corners of discussion and leadership around the fact that when a large or definitive decision gets made that I guess is a bit what one might call, quote, neoliberal, for example, restructuring an airline. On the other side, you'll see a sabotage either of the electricity supply or there'll be some kind of other emergency issue. And it almost seems like it is a quiet but very disruptive political salvo to people who are trying to make progress here in South Africa. Is there any merit to that?
Yeah, I really don't feel we should take too seriously conspiracy theories.
Okay.
The issue that I see really is that the Minister of Energy needs to get down to it and focus on his job, namely to facilitate the procurement of new generation capacity. We have the integrated resource plan for electricity now. There's a plan on the table. We now need to execute that plan. There was talk about an emergency procurement because of the looming shortages, which are real in the next few years. But we haven't seen this starting yet. So within time when IRP was published and now, there seems to be very little happening, certainly in the public domain that we can see. Maybe things are happening behind the scenes, but I'm not getting any wind of that. So the bottom line is we've got to start procuring new generation capacity and fast.
All right, if we can get the money to do so as well.
Indeed.
All right, Chris Eland, always grateful for your perspective, independent energy analyst there, giving us some ideas about how we can prevent some of this load shedding, but also highlighting that it is, to some extent, actually important to have it in order to avoid and avert a larger collapse.